God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you, my dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I preached you a sermon on our words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I talked in that sermon about how our words are like white and black arrows. Some of our words are like medicine. They are the truth of God. They build up. They heal, they touch, they love, they help, and bless people. But other words that come out of lips, our lips, others' lips, are like black arrows dipped and laced with poison. And when we speak those words and others speak them to us, they shoot into our hearts and leak poison out into us. They cut, tear down, hurt, harm, and kill. And after that sermon, that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had someone come up to me after the service and say, hey, would you ever think of preaching a sermon on how to heal from the black arrows, the hurtful, harsh words that we receive? I thought, that's a great idea. So I'd like to do that very thing today, talk with you about how to heal from harsh and evil and hard words that people speak to us that would seek to cut us down. We've all got them. We've all had black arrows shot at us. Amen? You've had them from people maybe you meet on the street, to acquaintances, to people at church, to friends, and sometimes from family, from a father, from a mother, from a wife, from a husband. And you know what? As I think about that, the closer a person is to you, the more powerful is that arrow. The more healing and building up and good is that white one when they shoot it into us like medicine, and the more potent the poison when we hear a word from one whom we love that would cut us down. And so today I'd like to talk about how to heal, though, from the black ones, from those harsh, those hurtful words that people speak or have spoken to us. So what's God say about that to us in his word? Well, first of all, I want to remind you that our words are very powerful on our lips. James says in his letter, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. Think of how small your tongue is and how much trouble it gets us into, right? It says in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think of Hitler, for example. He was a scrawny little man. He was not good looking, he was not dashing, he had no physical strength, he was just plain disagreeable to look at, and yet by his words alone, he inspired World War II, which killed 50 to 70 million people by his black arrows of his tongue. And in the same way, and in a better other way, Jesus, who is the Word of God, it says in Isaiah, he had no form or majesty that we would look at him, no beauty that we should desire him, and yet by his words, he brought life and salvation, and he forgave sins, and he healed the brokenhearted, and he brought us salvation by his words, for he is the Word of God. And so our words are very powerful. I want to ask you right now to think, what kinds of white arrows have people spoken to you and your life? For it says in Proverbs 15, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Wouldn't you love to have people to speak that to you all the time? And it says in Proverbs 16, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Isn't that beautiful? Words of truth. But then we have harsh words that are meant to kill us and cut us down. That same verse in Proverbs 15 says, but perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit, can crush you. You might be feeling full of courage and hope, and someone speaks a word and it dashes those to pieces. And all of a sudden you have no strength or vitality left in your soul, no heart for the task before you, because a word was shot into your heart like a black arrow, and down you go. They're very strong and powerful, and especially words from those who are very close to us, like a father or a mother, may have been shot into you decades ago. And here they are years later still bleeding poison, leaking it into your soul so that you can't even seem to function. And many people get to adulthood chock full of these black arrows. Blessed are you if you're not. But that's why David says in Psalm 64, He says this, "Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the scheming of evildoers, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear." So, that's the basis of it. But now, how do we heal? How do we heal from these black arrows and defend ourselves against them? Well, you ever see that movie, Lord of the Rings? Well, there's a hobbit there. He's trying to destroy this magical ring. And the evil forces want it back. And so they send these dark warriors, these half-spirit, half-man warriors, to go to try to wrest it from him. And they catch up with Frodo at a mount called Weathertop. And there's a great battle that ensues. And in the battle, before Aragorn comes and dispatches these bad guys, Frodo is stabbed by one of these daggers, these swords of Mordor. And after the battle, and the bad guys are chased away, Aragorn comes to his friend to look at his wounds. And he says, "Ah, this was made by a sword of Mordor. It is beyond my ability to heal by natural means." I want to tell you something. When you have black arrows, friends, these words can get in there, and it's not easy to cure these. You can't cure these bad, hate, evil words in your heart by natural means alone, by pop psychology, by positive thinking, by getting a hobby, all right? Instead, what Aragorn said is, "I must take you to one who has the ability and skill to work on supernatural wounds." And that's what I got to do with you. Take you to God, to Jesus, and to his word for healing. So let's take a look there at what God would teach us in his word. Take, for example, 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Now here's a story, the Old Testament, when bad guys, the king of Assyria, is coming against Jerusalem and King Hezekiah. And they have overwhelming superiority in force and numbers. And before they come to attack, the king of Assyria sends a messenger named the Rabshakeh. And he comes to taunt Israel. And he speaks to the men on the wall of Jerusalem, "Your God won't deliver you out of our hand. Give up now. Where are the gods of all the nations? We've destroyed them all." And then the men on the wall from Hezekiah say, "Pray, speak with us in the Aramaic language. Don't speak in the language of the people who are hearing here on the wall." The Rabshakeh responds, "Has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall, who are doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own piss?" Wow, that's a pretty black word, isn't it? What's he trying to do? He's trying to destroy that place first with a black arrow, with words, because he can melt their courage, make the heart of the king crumble, and he'll have the whole city without even shooting an arrow. He'll defeat them. And a little later, the Rabshakeh comes back with a message from the king of Assyria, and he has a letter. He says, "Do not let the God upon whom you rely deceive you by promising you that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them utterly. And shall you be delivered?" What is he doing, friends? Say it. Black arrows. He's shooting them. He's going to destroy their hearts first and their spirits. And it says, Hezekiah received from the hand of the messengers the letter, and he read it. He gets it. And what happens to his heart? His spirit is starting to coil and recoil. Poison leaking into his body, and his spirit is melting his courage. What's he do when that happens? What's God want you to do? It says, Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread the letter before the Lord on the altar. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, O God of Israel, you're enthroned above the cherubim. See these words that the king of Assyria has sent to mock you. So now, O Lord God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God." Isn't that beautiful? So what does God want you to do from this story? Well, what happens right afterwards? God says, "I heard these words," and he goes out and he slays in the camp of the Assyrians 186,000 men. And in the morning they woke up and they're all dead bodies. And God said to Hezekiah, "I myself will defend you. I'll defend this city, and I'll not let this man shoot an arrow here." What's God want you to do? You get these things fired at you, maybe in your childhood, maybe hard ones, maybe little ones through your day. God says, take these and lay them before me on my altar and pray, and I will defend you and deliver it. Remember Aragorn? He can't handle this stuff himself in that story. He says, I can't heal this by natural means. You got to take it to somebody who knows how to heal it. What is bothering you today? What is that black word that's been on your heart and is spoiling your life? God says, take it and lay it before me on my altar. Maybe here's an idea for you. How about this week you write down those words that are maybe hounding you and taunting you and haunting you. You actually put them on paper in letter form. You come in here when no one's here at church this week, which is pretty often. Lay it on the altar here and give it to the Lord and just see what he'll do with it. He's going to tell you the same thing. I will defend you. I will protect you. I will heal these wounds, but you got to bring them to me. How many of you are going through your life not doing that? Bring them to me, God says. I will heal you. For he says in Jeremiah chapter 30, he says this, for I will restore health to you and your wounds I'll heal, says the Lord, because they have called you out as an outcast, saying it is Zion for whom no one cares. God cares for you. So that's number one, laying before the Lord. Number two, second thing you can do, you need to understand that these words, these black words, get their power from your faith, from believing them. Think about this. Well, let's read, in Numbers chapter 13. Here's the story of Moses sending up spies into the land of Canaan. And it says, at the end of 40 days, they returned, the spies did, from spying out the land, and they brought back word to all the congregation. And they told them, we came into the land of Canaan, to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. Yet the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, giants. And we seemed to them but grasshoppers. But Caleb, who was one of the spies who went up to that land, quieted the people before Moses, saying, let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. What's that? White arrow? Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we. Black arrow to the people. So they brought an evil report of the land of which they'd spied out, saying, the land through which we've gone to spy out, a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in there are men of stature. The Nephilim, the sons of Anak, the Nephilim are there, the giants. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. So what's going on? Same thing that goes on in your life. There are white arrows fired at you, good reports, words of encouragement from the Lord. Black arrows, spoken in the words of men to defeat you and destroy you. What did the people do? Then all the people cried out with a loud cry, and they wept all night long. Then they said to one another, let's choose a captain and go back to Egypt. What happened? Just by words alone, they were ready to go back, return. Their courage was gone. Joshua steps up again, and he rends his clothes, and he says to all the people of Israel, the land which we've passed by to spy it out, it's an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows in milk and honey. But don't rebel against the Lord, for they are bread for us, these people. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But the people came to stone him. They wanted to stone him with stones. What's going on here? And what's God teach you by this story? He says to you, in your life, you're going to have the good reports, like preaching of the word and a good word from your friends and family, acquaintances. You'll also have evil reports. I want you to believe my words and receive them in and to reject these. Look, the power that this sword, this spear, this arrow has is when you believe it. The people are too big. Everything's terrible. I'm going down. I can't win. When you believe that, the sword, this spear gets its power and you fail. God says, don't believe it. When you cease to believe those lies, they start to go away. and you believe instead and receive God's word and the good report he gives you, saying, come on up, I'll give him into your hand. What kinds of words have you had in your life? Maybe when you were young, someone said to you, you're fat, said to a daughter, you're fat. You're unwanted. You're unwelcomed. Nobody likes you. You're a failure. You're never going to measure up to anything. I don't approve of you. Imagine those words from a father to his son, or from a mother to her daughter. How those words would kill and wound your soul for years. You know how it gets its power? When you believe them. As long as you put faith in them and you start saying and shooting those own arrows at yourself, I am fat, I am unwanted, I am unliked, I'll never measure up to anything, because you've believed in them and taken them in. But God says, just like this, that's an evil report. It's not from me. Don't believe it. Reject it. Turn aside from it. Instead, receive my word that I have loved you, I've redeemed you in Christ, you're welcomed in Christ, you're wanted, I make you more than a conqueror, there's the land, let's go up, follow me, and I'll take you to the place to which I want you to go. Amen? So let's do that. Here's another thing you can do. Don't just hear the word of God and the good words, but speak them aloud over your situation and over yourself. Think of this line from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here's David. A champion comes out, Goliath, a man whose height was 6 cubits and a span. How high is that? About 9 feet. Big guy. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Wait a second. Hello. Horses, rein them in. Back up here. Did Goliath swing his sword yet? Did Goliath even take it out of his sheath? Has he even picked up his spear? He's done no fighting. All he's done is shot words like black arrows. And what happened to Saul and all the army? Dunsville, right? They are thrown in the towel. I'm out of here. My heart is totally discouraged. My courage is gone because of words. But along comes a man named David. He says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Says to Saul, don't let any man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this fellow. Your servants killed both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. What's he doing, friends? He's taking the word of God, he's taking his faith, and he's speaking it out over that situation, saying, I believe the Lord is going to defend me, and he's going to deliver me. Saul says, go, and the Lord be with you. Then we get another battle of arrows. The Philistine comes to David and says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods, and he said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. What's he doing? Black arrows. Does David take that? He doesn't just receive God's word, he shoots him back. Right? He says, you come to me with a sword. You come to me with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will give you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that he saves, not with a sword, not with a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. And the Philistine came, David ran at him and struck him down because the Lord gave him into his hand. But I want to ask you, when you are wrestling with these bad black words that are stuck in you, you know, we got such a spirit in our day and age and culture that is just all compromise. It's all acquiescing and laying down and not wanting an argument. We just back off. We don't say anything. You're not to do that in this battle. God says to you, when you have these bad words come at you, don't only reject them, don't only lay them on my altar, but take my words and start shooting them back into that situation and saying, I defy that, and you're going to be given into my hand today. And speak those kinds of words. You're fat. You're unwelcomed. You're unlovable. You're unliked. You'll never measure up. No. God has said, I have redeemed you. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. With all God, all things are possible. I'm loved, I'm welcomed, I'm accepted. And by the way, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. So take these words and use them and defends herself with that shield of faith. Naomi, one time when she was 4 years old, she was in little preschool up in St. Louis, and she had drawn a blue horse. She loved blue horses. And the kids all made fun of her and shot a whole, she came home just chock full of arrows because they had said, they'd made fun of her. There's no blue horses. You're crazy. You're so this, you're so that. 4 year olds, you know how they can be. She was so wounded when she came home. She was dispirited. And I shared with her about what Paul says. Take the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so we made a cardboard shield. And she stood there, and I took all of her little crayons and markers, and I said, you're going to meet a lot of these things. Let's practice right now, Naomi. How about this? You're not liked. And she blocked it with a shield. You're not pretty. Boom. And she blocked it with a shield. And, you know, all these things. I kept throwing words at her, and she kept on defending, and she realized she had the power to reject them. She had the power to fight, and so they had the power to counter them with the words of God. That's what God wants you to do. Take this word. Live up. Stand up to it and fight. And you'll be delivered. For God makes you more than a conqueror. And here's one more thing you can do based on his word. He says this in Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, but I say to you that here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. When you get these things fired at you in your life, maybe even from years and years and years ago, they're still hurting you. You know what you can do? Jesus says, here's what you do. You take a white arrow, you take a word of God, you take a good word, and you shoot it into that person, namely a good word. You pray for that person. You don't, if they've abused you, you seek their welfare, their good. And you know what's going to happen? You might just heal that person by your arrows and bring them up through your prayers. But when you forgive them, what do these arrows try to put in you? Once they get in there, the poison is what? What's it working you? Bitterness, wrath, get even, vengeance, anger, frustration, angst. But guess what? You start praying for that person. What happens to all this poison? It's replaced with peace, forgiveness, kindness, hope, love. And all of a sudden that arrow's poison just gets dissolved in the medicine of God's forgiveness and love. And that's really what God did when he sent Jesus Christ, isn't it? He made him an arrow. Did you know that? Did you know the scriptures actually call Jesus an arrow? Look at this in Isaiah chapter 49. Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. His name was Jesus before he was even born. Verse 2, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. And in his quiver, he hid me away. He made Jesus, God the Father did, a polished arrow. He hid him in his quiver till the appropriate time. In the fullness of time, he pulled him out, notched him to his word, and shot Jesus down, sent him into the world. And when that arrow hit our earth, Jesus did, he was born, healing began. Salvation came to this world. He laid down his life for us, rose again, and he redeemed people. He lifts up the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. He makes you more than a conqueror. He forgives you and welcomes you, works that into you, and now you can work it out to other people. And so may God make you today more than a conqueror in all these things and set you free from all those black arrows until the sun of righteousness rises for you with healing in its wings in the land of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.